Somebody really ticked you off. Whatever it is, we're just going to bring it to Jesus so that there's nothing preventing us or blocking us from receiving what the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus all want us to receive tonight. So if you just take that and just release it to him right now, get rid of it. You don't need it. Anything heavy, any heavy burdens he didn't design you to carry, just release them to Jesus. God, we thank you for tonight. We just release anything that we might be carrying to you so that we can fully receive all that you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody doing good? You guys ready to rock?
Ready.
All right. I probably will get as excited as you guys give me feedback, which would still be excited, but our TV guy's got, he's hurting. We're going to pray for him after service. Okay, so we're going to talk about next level, okay? So what does that mean, next level? But before we talk about next level, we need some shared understanding. We need to get on the same page. So before we talk about going to the next level, we need to talk about why. That's your cue. So what's holding you back from your next level? And then the next slide. But first, why would we be talking about next level? Christian, why are we talking about next level, bro? Like, is that in the Bible? Can you show me? Okay, let's talk about it. If it's not in the Bible, I ain't talking about it. So, all right, so let's look at some scriptures that give us some clues as to next level. Oh, you guys like my graphic? You guys know what that is? Okay, cool. I had another one for, what's that game? Dang it, I put an Atari graphic on there too for everybody that's to my age group. So, if Hebrews 12:1, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. What's that say? Sorry, Terry. Life's what? Marathon race. Interesting. So in a marathon, I mean, life's a marathon, right? It's not like a 5K, 10K, like it's a long race, right? And in a race, you keep running unless you pass out or something. Like you keep running, correct? You keep going further than you went before. You can go to the next one. For the path has been already marked out before us. God has a path before you. He's laid it out, right? He tells us, I have laid before you life and death. Choose life, right? He's laid out a path before us, and it's our choice to choose whether we keep going or whether we hang out at the water station too long or camp out at the water station, right? Okay, next scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Also about running and racing. Man, what's going on? So, and just a little side note, so the Corinthians would have been familiar with that in that day and time. There was races, there was games, there was those types of things, but we won't get into that. But he's giving them a mental picture, trying to explain something to them in a way that they would get. So isn't it obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win? I like how it says that. They keep on running to win. But only one receives the victor's prize, yet each of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every aspect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. So they're running to get a crown. See, back then they weren't as fancy as we are nowadays, right? Their crown would wither and fade. Now we have crowns that probably they won't last forever, but eventually everything gets tarnished. Everything withers, right? But we're after a crown that lasts forever. So if the examples that he's giving us is races and marathons, we're supposed to keep going. Right? We're supposed to go to another level. We're supposed to get better. Amen. For that reason, I do not run just for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches, but a train, just in case you didn't know what that looked like, but I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body and get it under my control so that after preaching the good news to others, I myself won't be disqualified. So he talks about his body here, right? And if you've been tracking with Pastor Dwayne and his series, then that'll make perfect sense to you, right? As we just talked about three parts to our body. We're saved, we're being saved, right? So anyway, three-part being, we got to get our body into line with our spirit. Matthew 25, 22, and 23. Then the one who had been entrusted, so side note, this is the Passion Translation. So I don't know what translation that you read. I don't know if you're like, I'm only going to read this translation. But basically what I do when I prepare a message is I look at the scriptures that I'm going to cover, and I look at them in like four or five translations, and I'm looking at the one that's going to be the best for what I'm talking about. So the best description, how does it lay it out? How does it help us see it the best? How does it help us get what he's trying to say the most? So then the one who had been entrusted with two, and I check it with the other translation, make sure it's like in line. Anyway, then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, "See, my master, I have doubled what you have entrusted to me." Now, side note, guess I'm gonna have a lot of this tonight. It wasn't his money, yeah. Right? The master gave him money and he doubled it. Commending his servant, the master replied, "You have done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you were faithful to manage a small sum," that was a small sum. It's like 2,000 gold coins. Small sum. Okay. "Because you were faithful to manage a small sum, now I'll put you in charge of much, much more." Not much more, much, much more. God works in multiplication, right? Multiplication. He took 2,000, doubled it. That's multiplication, right? He doubled it and then times two, and then now he's going to get much, much more. "You'll experience the delight of your master." I think that's interesting that that's in here. "You will experience the delight of your master." Who's our master? Is it not delightful to experience Jesus? "You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Come celebrate with me.'" So there's a concept here of you take what you've been given that doesn't belong to you. Right? Your life doesn't belong to you. It was bought with a price. So you take what's been given to you and you do something with it. Next level. And then what happens when you take it to the next level? You get to the next level, right? Double, much, much more. So if we follow that progression, we're smart people, right? If we follow that progression, you're supposed to keep going, right? Okay. So next level. That's why we're talking about it. Oh, I got another scripture. Luke 16, 10 and 11. "The one who manages the little, he has been given with faithfulness and integrity." Faithfulness and integrity, it's key. "Will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities." But those, you know, if you're like happy with where you're at and you're not really doing any more than what you have to do, it's probably because you don't want more responsibility. You're like, "Man, I don't want to be the manager. Forget that." Because when you do it with faithfulness and integrity, you're promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. "But those who cheat with the little they have been given will not..." Man, I messed that up. "But those who cheat with the little they have been given will be considered trustworthy to receive..." "Will not be considered trustworthy to receive more." You guys got that? Sorry. "If you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity," listen, "if you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be entrusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world?" Hold up. So now we're talking about something carnal, something in this world that translates into the kingdom of God. So if you can't be trusted with what you have here, why do you think you're going to be given anything more in the kingdom? Amen. When we step in out of this world, So it's important that we take what we have now and multiply it. You don't want to be like the third servant. You can be like the first one and the second one. So what is holding you back from your next level? So if we understand, we comprehend, we all agree that we're supposed to be going to another level, right? Whatever that is. And everybody's levels are different. We don't want to get into comparison and comparing my level with your level and your level with so-and-so's level. We're not doing all that, okay? Because everybody's different. Everybody's in a different place. Everybody has been entrusted with different things, different gifts, right? So we don't need to compare and do all that. So what we need to do is what have we been given? What have we been entrusted with? What has been put in our hands that now we're supposed to multiply, we're supposed to take to the next level? So if we are listening to our spirit man, the spirit inside of us, then we're saying, yes, I want to go to the next level. Yes, I want to grow. I want to do more. I want to accomplish more because that's what God wants for me. But something holds us back. Because if you're not going towards the next level or moving towards the next level or going up, then something is holding you back, right? Y'all can play it again. Turn it up. So what holds us back? Self-focus. We're focused on ourselves. So as I go through this list of things that hold us back, some of them may not apply to you. That's okay. You pick the one that applies to you. And if I list all of them and none of them apply to you, then the Holy Spirit's going to tell you which one does. Okay, complaining. You're focused on yourself. Complaining is self-focus. It's just have some clarity there. Complaining is I'm focused on me. Because if we think about where we work and what we do, if we're complaining at our workplace, at the job we do, what are we focused on? No, Christian, I have valid complaints. But if you're complaining, you're not doing anything about them except whining and talking about them and how you can't do anything about it. Now, disclaimer, like, I don't know your situation and where you're at. So I don't want you to think I'm making blanket statements and they'd apply to every situation everywhere. It's just the majority. complaining. So let me give you some examples. So in college, I went to Howard Payne, and in college, I got a job at Chick-fil-A. Side note, I'd never eaten at Chick-fil-A in my life and got a job there. I lived in Michigan for 7 years. There was no Chick-fil-A's up there. Anyway, I'd never even eaten at Chick-fil-A. Crystal's like, what? I know, it's crazy. So I didn't even know what I was getting into. But I started working there, and so I'm a college student. I was a junior when I started, and then a senior working there as a senior in college. So I'm like 22 years old, and I'm working for on the night shift, and my manager is like a 16-year-old teenager. And so I'm working for, submitting to, a 16-year-old. Now, I got to give this dude props, like for his age and his situation, because I knew his situation, not a great story at home and stuff like that. Like, he did a great job. Like, I got to give him a lot of props. But at the same time, at 16, you know, you still have some immaturity. You know, you're a 16-year-old, right? And so what I could have done is I could have been like, man, this is trash. I'm like 22 years old. I'm working for a 16-year-old. Like, I could run circles around this dude. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't do that. I took it as an opportunity. I leveraged the situation to grow. And so I said, okay, so I'm going to honor him and respect him. That doesn't mean I don't make suggestions. That don't mean I don't speak up. But I'm going to honor him and respect him. And then I think about all the things that he does that I'm like, man, it'd be better if we did this. Or man, he could do this better. I'm going to take all those. I'm going to apply them to myself. Okay, so when I'm the manager, what am I going to do? right? When I'm the manager, so I'm not giving you a scapegoat. I'm not saying like, oh, you can just let him do whatever he wants and you don't have to say anything because you're just growing yourself. No, you need to speak up if you need to speak up. You need to say things if you need to, but you're growing. How can I grow? How am I? What am I going to do when I get there, right? That's instead of complaining, I'm going to do something. I'm going to grow, right? So then there's this guy named Dean, and Dean is multi-millionaire. Didn't start out that way, as most of them don't. But Dean, his dad had a garage, and they worked on cars. And so he started working in this shop, and he hated it. I mean, he couldn't get the grease out from under his fingernails, and some people love that, which is awesome. He just didn't. He hated it. And so he could have complained and whined and be like, man, why am I stuck in this dang job? This is not what I want to do. Man, this stinks. And he could have complained and whined about it. But he didn't. He did it with excellence. He did it with enthusiasm. Now, it's one thing to do something. It's another thing to do something you really, really hate with enthusiasm. So, but he did that, okay? And so one of the customers that came and brought his car there asked him, hey, he was like, hey, man, what's your vision for your life? Like, what do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Because he was watching him and he was doing what he did with enthusiasm. He had a great attitude, you know what I mean? And the guy noticed it. And so he's like, man, what do you want to do? So he wanted to get into real estate, and he had started working on real estate investing. And this guy, this customer, ends up funding his first real estate deal that was hundreds of thousands of dollars. A customer who probably would have never offered him the money if he'd been like, all right, man, yeah, here's your ticket. Yeah, I hate this job. Okay, have a good day. Gosh, I hate this job. Dang fingernails, can't ever get the grease out. You think that guy's going to want to invest money in him, that person? No. Self-focus. Luke 16:12. And if you've not been proven faithful with what belongs to another, why should you be given wealth of your own? It's in the Bible. Like, if you're not going to be faithful with something that someone else's, someone else's business, someone else's company vehicle, someone else's bank account, someone else's books, whatever you do, if you're not going to be faithful with theirs, why would you be given it of your own? Because so many times we act like we're victims. And we're like, man, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Man, I'm just waiting for that opportunity. No. You take the opportunity you have, which may stink and you may hate, and you do it with all you got. And you may have to put a fake smile on sometimes. Because underneath you go, man, my boss doesn't have integrity. Doesn't mean you don't say anything. You do it in the right way. That's honorable confrontation. I preached on that sometime earlier this year. So reference that message to have the right kind of confrontation. But you got to be faithful with what someone else is before you can be faithful and given something of your own. Okay. Self-focus. Close my eyes, because then I'll have to see y'all making weird faces at me. Anybody recognize that song? Yeah. Classic DC Talk. Come on, where's my DC Talk people? Okay. All right. So fear. What if? All the what ifs. What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I make a fool of myself? What if I make a fool of my family? What if I make a fool of whoever? My leaders, my pastor, I don't know. What if? All those what ifs. That's fear, right? Well, here's the thing. God says, well, let me just do the scripture. That's next, right? Okay. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God will never, I like the way it puts it, God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So God will not give you a spirit of fear. Now, does that mean you don't have fear? Well, we all know that we're supposed to have a reverential, honoring fear for God, right? But he will never give you a spirit. Because here's what the enemy does. He hijacks God's stuff. So he hijacks fear. He makes it, turns into a spirit of fear. And then he tries to infuse that into your life. Where now there's this thing where you're just like, oh man, I don't know. Oh my gosh. What if? And so we're too afraid to take the step of faith or to go to the next level because of fear. Negative Nancy's. Come on, y'all know that saying, right? Yeah. Negative Nancy's? Okay. There's negative people in your life that can also cause you to not step forward, which is also another way that fear gets in your life. Negative people. And here's the thing. Some of those things, some of those people, you can just be like, whatever. But there's some people you can't. People that you're in relationship with, you can't do whatever because you're in relationship with them, right? Your friends, your family, your life group friends, your church family, whoever that is for you, there's people you can't do that to. So I'm going to give you a real quick key. And if you got this, you better write this down. Because here's the key to dealing with people who are negative. Or when you bring something up, you share something with them, you're like real excited. You're like, oh my gosh, listen, this is what God told me. And they're like, oh man, but what if this and what if that? And have you thought about this? And you're like, oh man, like I was excited. Maybe I didn't hear God. So listen, here's how you handle that. And this is what you do with those people. I mean, maybe they're not even trying to, you know what I mean? Maybe they may not even be trying to rain on your parade. And they're doing it just because they care about you. And so they're worried. They don't want you to stumble either. They don't want you to fall either. And so, you know, a lot of times that's a family member. But sometimes it's friends and other people. So here's the thing. Here's the key. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Because what we do most of the time is we're like, well, they must not understand me. I got to explain myself better. Let me break it down for you. No, maybe you didn't hear me. Now, here's what I said. And we think that we need to start with just explaining more, helping them understand more. Seek first to understand. There's a reason why they're being negative. There's a reason why they're throwing what seems like all these bombs or roadblocks at you and that are steering you away from what you really feel like maybe God's called you to or you're supposed to do or your next step or the next thing or whatever. You need to seek to understand where they're at first. Ask questions. Be curious. Hey, why are you concerned about that? Can you tell me more about that? Can you explain that more? What does that look like? Ask questions. And what you'll find is that came from somewhere. Maybe it's their own. Maybe it's fear they have in and of themselves. It has nothing to do with you. It just be something inside of them where they were at some point in their life, they were growing up, something happened to someone they knew, something happened to their parents, something happened to somebody over here. And because of that, now they don't want that to happen to you. They don't want you to fall on your face. And so it's being birthed out of that. And so if you'll seek to understand where they're at, where they're coming from, and the why, first, then they'll discover, as you're asking questions and walking through this, they'll discover why that is in the first place, and then they might even on their own work that out. Or you can help them work it out. And then they're going to be more open to hearing you and what you're excited about or what you want to do. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's fear. Comfort. So comfort, like, yeah, bro, I just want to be happy. Just want to be comfortable, you know? So you guys know who C.S. Lewis is? Just check this out. C.S. Lewis once said, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Amen. You guys know who C.S. Lewis is, right? Yeah, he wrote Mere Christianity. Anyway, I don't recommend Christianity. Listen, the goal in Christianity is not to be comfortable. And I'm going to say that and make a comment off of that. That doesn't mean we should never have comfort. Okay, I'm not saying like you should never be comfortable. Like if you're comfortable right now, you just start punching yourself in the arm, slap yourself in the face. Let's not get crazy. Okay. But like if you live a lifestyle of comfort, let's talk about that. Okay. So here's signs you may be too comfortable. So again, these may not all apply to you. And if there's one that you have that's not on here, the Holy Spirit will tell you. You just get to choose whether you listen to them or not. Okay. Number one, there's no friction between your Christianity and your partisan politics. If your Christianity aligns perfectly with a political party, that's very convenient. Just saying, it's really convenient. If you have no different views or perspectives about anything, and your Christianity perfectly aligns with a political party, I'm just saying it's convenient. Okay, number two. You have no tensions or unresolved questions. Like, you're not like, man, the Bible says this here and it says this over here. That doesn't make sense. Like, that's tension, right? It's tension. You're like, ooh, does the Bible contradict itself? And that's the world's thing, right? Like, the Bible contradicts itself. Man, that Bible, it contradicts itself. Man, they don't even read the dang Bible. They're just going to pick out two scriptures somebody told them about and say it contradicts itself. Anyway, sorry. I wouldn't say that to them like that. I'm saying it to you guys. So you have no tensions or unresolved questions. Number three, your friends or coworkers are surprised you are a church-going Christian. Oh, sorry, that one's hilarious. Your friends or coworkers are surprised you are a church-going Christian. So, sorry I laughed. Because there may be someone here that's really hard for you, and so I don't want to make fun of that. But maybe it's really hard for you at work because you're an introvert, and you're like, man, I don't want anybody to know, and for whatever all the elements are that go into that. And so if that's you, please forgive me. I don't want to make fun of you. That's hard. But you might be too comfortable. So you need to evaluate that. You ask the Holy Spirit, okay, well, God, what can I do? Okay, no one's calling. You're not going to go from there to Zach, right? You're not going to go from the introvert who nobody knows you're Christian at work to evangelist Zach. But you can take a step, right? Your next level. Your next level is not where Zach's at. Everybody knows that. He did transition. Zach's an evangelist. Like, he would preach to the wall, and get it saved. It's a gift, right? So, but God has called you to take a step. And at first, that step may be super small. And it may be super uncomfortable for you, and maybe super small, but that's okay. You just take a step. You go to your next level, okay? Number four, you never think about or remember the Sunday sermon on Monday. Okay, number five, no one at church ever annoys you. You might be too comfortable. I feel like I'm doing like Jeff Foxler. You might be a redneck. You might be too comfortable if you never feel challenged, only affirmed. So maybe you're not saying anything that's out of the usual or out of the ordinary, or that you've thought, man, what if this or this or that? And someone's like, I don't know, that sounds kind of weird. If you're only being affirmed, then maybe you're not really pushing the limits on your thought processes and revelation and studying. Number seven, you've never had to have a truth in love conversation with a fellow Christian. So if you've never had a tough conversation with another Christian, maybe you're too comfortable. That's not fun. Like, can we all just agree, that's no fun? But it is worth it. Because we fight for relationship in this church. We fight for it. We don't fight in it. We fight for it. And the enemy hates relationship, and he wants to destroy relationships. So we're going to fight for relationships. We're going to fight to stay in relationships. And we just heard Jacob, right? Face to face. We're not going to turn away. We're going to stay face to face, and it may hurt, and it may be ugly, and it may be hard, but I'm going to stay face to face because I'm fighting for what Jesus died for. Number 8, no one in your church could comment on any area of growth they've seen in you. So if nobody can comment, go, yeah, I've seen them grow in this way.
You might be too comfortable.
Okay, so that was comfort. No, I'm not done with comfort, sorry. But you don't change. So here's the thing. God doesn't change, right? God's perfect. What does he need to change? He doesn't. He's perfect. We need to change, right? We are the ones who are not perfect. We are the ones who are constantly trying to get our soul and our bodies in line with our spirits, as Dwayne talked about, right? We need to be changing constantly because ain't none of us perfect. Ain't none of us going to get there. You know, the people in the Bible, some of them had 900 and something years to do it, and they still didn't make it. So I promise you ain't going to make it. So keep changing. Next level. Okay. The unknown and uncertainty. Uncertainty. The Twilight Zone was for the unknown. Oceans is uncertainty. You know, we sing that song, right? Like, some of us love that song. I like that song. But do we know what we're singing? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Do we really believe it? Like, we're singing it, but do we really mean it? Trust is without borders. Where, God, I trust you no matter where I go. I might be in the middle of the ocean and ain't nothing else around, but I trust you, God. So what's holding you back? It could be the unknown and uncertainty. And here's the thing. You're not going to know everything. You're not going to be certain of everything. You can be certain of something, and you can know something, but not everything. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Here's the proof. Guys, you guys remember Abraham? Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So let's break it down. Sorry, go back. Go from your country. So we in the U.S., that means get out of the U.S. And your kindred, what's your kindred? Like your people, right? And your father's house, so leave your parents. You're leaving your parents, you're leaving your country, you're leaving your friends, you're out of here. To the land that I will show you. Where am I going, Lord? I'll show you. So hold up. Now, you guys know Abraham was well off, right? He had many servants and many cattle, which means everybody's got tents and places to sleep and all that kind of stuff. Lots of people, okay? So you want me to pack up all these people, all my family? You want me to leave my country, leave my pops and my mama, and leave all my friends and go somewhere, and you're not going to tell me where I'm going? That's right, Abram. Okay, Lord. Now, it doesn't document that there was any more conversation in there. So we don't know if he was like, hold up, what? Are you sure, bud? So you can't tell me now? But he says that I will show you. So you're not going to know everything. Abram didn't know everything, and he had to pack up everything and go. So which direction? I don't know if he told him which direction or not. It's not documented, but so I don't know if he was like, oh, you know how we spin the globe and we're like, so north, south, east, or west, which, but that's the Lord said, I will show you. And he did. If you read down, I don't know if I have that in here. And I will make you a great nation. So he's given him a promise. He's given him what's going to happen if he'll obey. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So what is he certain of? He's certain God told him to go and leave all this. And he's certain that he's going to be blessed if he does it. All the in-between, is unknown. It's uncertain. What's going to happen in between, Lord? Go. And that's a lot of times, and I'm going to speak from my personal life, most of the time, the way it works. God, what's all in between there? What all is going to happen in there? Like, I know you gave me this vision. I know you showed me this. I know I'm called for this. What's all in between here? Well, take a step. Amen. Okay. Confidence is built in the process. So as Abraham obeyed and stepped into the process of his journey and where he was going, the end game being all nations are blessed because of him, as he stepped in and went through the process, that's where his confidence was built. His confidence in God and his confidence in himself. Confidence. Sorry, I don't have any special music for this one. Numbers 13:33. So hold on, let's recap. What is holding you back from your next level? Confidence. Numbers 13:33 says, "And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." You guys see that? To ourselves like grasshoppers. How you see yourself is how others are going to see you. You see yourself as nobody. You see yourself as nothing. You see yourself as, I can't do that, God. God, like, I'm pretty sure you told me that, but God, how could I ever do that? How could I ever accomplish that? God, how could I ever be that? Well, the problem is you don't see the process. All you see is the destination. And he's telling you the destination. And if he's given you a destination, then you can be for sure and know for sure that in this process, you're going to be ready for the destination. But what we do is we don't take that step and we don't get in the process. And so we're never going to see ourselves the way he sees us, because we see ourselves as grasshoppers. And so other people are going to see you as a grasshopper because you see yourself that way. Unless there are people who see you the way God sees you, right? There are people who see what God has put in you and they call it out of you. But not the heathens. Okay. Laziness. So what's holding you back from your next level? Maybe it's laziness. We all, at some level, deal with some laziness. I deal with some laziness. I'm like wondering, so real quick backstory. I played football for 11 years, played at Howard Payne. I've been an athlete my whole life. I've always been disciplined and work hard and all that stuff, right? So you could have told, if we looked at some pictures from college, you'd be able to tell a little better. I was 200 pounds of muscle. So laziness. So like I deal with laziness. And again, remember we're not comparing, right? Remember that? Okay. So my goal is to get up in the 4 to 5 o'clock hour. Oh, okay, Christian, you're lazy, right? You're going to get up at 5 a.m. Okay, remember, we're not comparing, okay? You're not comparing to me, because if you ain't supposed to get up at that time, then don't get up at that time, okay? But whatever laziness is for me, it's going to be different from what laziness is for you. And so I have a hard time. And I'm like, what's my problem? Like, I've been disciplined my whole life, yada, yada, yada. It's just something that I got to deal with. I got to overcome. I got to work through. I got to figure out what the cause of it is so that I can overcome it. So, question, do you appreciate things that are free? I almost didn't put that in there because I know it's like, well, you could. But if you think about it, if you think about the things that you do appreciate, they weren't free. Somebody else worked hard for it and maybe blessed you with it. Because I have two vehicles that I didn't pay for, and I appreciate them. They didn't cost me any money, but they cost other people money, right? But if you're just handed something that didn't take any work, are you really going to appreciate it? Are you going to appreciate something you worked your tail off for? You'd be like, no, don't mess that up. I built that. I fixed that. I built that system. you really appreciate it, right? Matthew 25, 25 through 30. And this is going to hurt a little bit, so I saved it for last. See, I'll just get ready. I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your money and buried it in the ground. So this is the parable of the talents. Now we're at the third servant. But here it is, take it, it's yours. That seems kind of like rough, right? Like, I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your money, but here it is, take it. It's almost like he's got an attitude. Okay. Angered by what he heard, the master said to him, you are an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew I was shrewd and ruthless, a ruthless businessman who always makes a profit, why did you not deposit my money in the bank? Then I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. The least you could have done is went down to the bank and deposited it, and then you didn't have to do anything else. What's the point? That's secure. That's safe. So even people who struggle with risk, even people who are afraid, can do something safe that brings multiplication. It's not going to be as much as the other two, right? It's not going to double. I don't know what the percentage rates at the bank were back then, but they're really low right now. If you have a savings account, right? Is it even over 1%? I think it went back up to 2%. Anyway, or that's money market accounts. Anyway, so they could have at least, you could have at least done that. What's the point? You can't skate out on being lazy. Did I put the rest in there? Because God takes it pretty seriously. But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give them to the one who has 10,000. For the one who has will be given more until he overflows with abundance. The one who has will be given more. He didn't have it that he produced, it was given to him by the master. Yeah. The master who has given you life and godliness, gifts and talents. So he's given it to you, and what you had, you multiply it, and now you're blessed with abundance. And the one who has hardly anything, even what little he has, will be taken from him. Even what little that person has will be taken for you. That's not right. That's wrong. That's not okay. The people who have the least need it the most. No, the servants who are the most faithful are blessed with more. This is a hard scripture. Like, it's never been easy. I've read this scripture so many times, it's still not easy. It's still hard for me to deliver it to you. Probably doesn't look like it, but it's hard for me to deliver it to you, to look you in the eye, and that's tough. This is a hard scripture. What little you have will be given to someone else. So the point is for us not to get a spirit of fear. Right? The point is, man, God's serious. God takes what he's given me seriously. He takes the talent, the gifting, whatever's inside of me. Man, if it's the gift of prophecy and you have that in you and you're not prophesying over anybody, he takes that seriously. If you have the gift of healing and for some reason when you lay hands on people, they get healed and you're not stepping out in faith because of all these reasons, God takes that seriously because what you have isn't for you. It's for the world. That's why Jesus left and put the Holy Spirit inside of each of us so we could be Jesus to the world. So when we're not using those things, we're not allowing Jesus to operate in the world. Then the master, and this is the hardest part of all, then the master said to his other servants, now throw that good-for-nothing servant far away from me into the outer darkness where there will be great misery and anguish. Oh, it's rough. Is that it? Okay. So, I know what you're thinking. You're just going to leave us with that? I am. So next week, we're going to talk about the success loop. We're going to talk about, okay, so tonight was about identifying. Tonight was about your eyes being opened, seeing, God, what is in me? What are my obstacles? What are the things that is holding me back? Because I know you want me to go to another level. I know I'm supposed to do more. I know I'm supposed to grow more. I know you have something for me to step into no matter what stage of life you're at. So tonight was about discovery. Tonight was about thinking, what's going on in me? What's holding me back? And maybe it wasn't on the screen. That's okay. What did the Holy Spirit say to you? What's holding you back? And next week we're going to talk about how to overcome, how to step to your next level, how to take that step, how to increase, how to grow, no matter what life throws at you, because life will throw many things at you, right? I mean, life is full of hard things and challenges. How do we overcome those? So we're going to talk about that next week, okay? All right, let's pray. Daddy, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. God, that you love us and you are for us, God.